So I want to preach tonight on preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to talk about preaching for just a few minutes tonight. Talk about preaching, what the Bible says about preaching. Since teaching compared to preaching brings little conviction of sin, Christians with teaching, preaching pastors are on the whole more comfortable in their personal sins and have lower standards of conduct than most other people. The reason I say that, we've come to a place in society and in the church world where you don't hear much preaching anymore. And I don't mean to be critical, but you travel this country a little bit and find out what I'm talking about. It's now you can turn your radio on and you hear all kinds of teaching and preaching, but not any real rare back, leather lung, hide skin and preaching like you used to. Amen? And we have singing, we have fellowship, we have testimonies. Sometimes we have food, we have programs, we have trips, we have all those things. But brother, unto the Lord, one thing we need more now than ever is old-fashioned preaching. In our churches, in our pulpits across this land, what we need more of is preaching. We need men of God that'll stand up and declare the whole counsel of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Not our opinion, not what we think, not what you think, not what's popular, not what'll get us a raise or cut our salary, but bless God, the Word of God as it stands. And that's what we need in our day and time. Talking about preachers here just a few minutes, listen to this. They said after 100 years, the perfect pastor has been found. He is a church leader that will please everybody. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sin but never steps on anybody's toes. He works from 8 in the morning to 10 at night, doing everything from preaching sermons to sweeping. He makes $500 a week and gives $100 of that to the church. He drives a late model car, buys lots of books, wears fine clothes, and has a very nice family. He's 36 years old and has been preaching for 40 years. Are y'all getting this? This is a little note of sarcasm. In other words, people looking for a perfect pastor, you ain't going to find one. Bless God, you ought to lay on your face and pray and seek God until God sends the right man to your church. Amen? He's tall on the short side and heavy set in a thin sort of way. His eyes are either blue or brown to fit the occasion. He wears his hair parted in the middle like me, left side dark and straight, and right side brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with the youth and spends all of his time with the senior citizens. He smiles all the time while keeping a straight face because he has a keen sense of humor which finds him keeping seriously dedicated. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all of his time evangelizing lost people, is always found in his office studying when he's needed. Unfortunately, he burned himself out and died at age 32. You ain't going to find a perfect preacher. You ain't going to find one. In other words, I've seen churches looking for a preacher, and I mean they've got this criteria, and brother, if Apostle Paul come and apply for the job, they'd never hire him. Amen? Brother, you just need somebody that will preach that the most important thing, I mean the most important thing that happens in this church or any church is when the preacher stands up and declares and delivers the Word of God. Nothing supersedes that. Not youth programs, not children's programs, not trips, not music, not nothing. There ain't nothing that's greater than the preaching of the Word of God. And brother, we need old-fashioned Bible preaching in our pulpits across the country. Preaching is mentioned more than 120 times in the New Testament. Just listen to this, Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Jesus came preaching. John came preaching. Paul was a preacher. John was a preacher. John the Revelator. Peter, James, John, all the disciples were preachers. Brother, listen, we don't need more ear ticklers, and we don't need people to soothe us. We need old-fashioned men of God that's filled with the Spirit of God that'll preach the Word of God. That's what we need. One thing you won't normally see, we were sitting yesterday eating lunch, and up on the TV they had a parade on. It had that rattlesnake roundup. I thought, boy, we ought to have that at the church. That'd just draw a crowd, wouldn't it? And I thought, you know, all those floats went by, and all them cars, and all those muscle cars, and all those classic cars, and all those majorettes, and all those bands, and all those people riding horses. Not one single float did I see that was church with a preacher on it. How about that, brother? Why ain't that old-fashioned preacher up on one of them floats preaching? And brother, listen, I've done it a many times. I've been up on a Christmas parade float preaching my lungs out like I'm doing right now. And 99% of the people sitting there like this with their arms crossed, you know what they're thinking? There's a time and a place for everything. You're right. Now's the time and this is the place. But there's never a bad time or a wrong place to preach the Word of God. I would say, first of all, preaching exposes sin. Amen. Isaiah 58 said this. Verse 1, he said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Not a flute, not a piccolo, a trumpet! Bless God, we need preachers. They'll run back and skin them. I mean, brother, preach hell hot and heaven sweet. We need some trumpet preaching. Preaching exposes sin. That's why some preachers, most people ain't comfortable with old-fashioned preaching. It makes them squirm. Boy, I could not tell you the stories. I could write a book on what I've seen while I'm up preaching. You wouldn't believe it. At one time, one church, a pastor had a camera up here, and you can watch that film later. We wasn't doing it to spy on anybody. We had a TV program. But at least we had a camera up here, and you could watch people that start squirming, and they start getting uncomfortable. Brother, I tell you, old-fashioned preaching will do that to you. It'll make you squirm in your seat. Amen. It exposes sin. Boy, you can be up preaching and you can see women and girls come in and they got their skirts on up to you know where. And you can see their low cut blouses. Brother, an old fashioned preacher, get up and start preaching. I mean, the heavenly dove of God comes down on him and he begins to preach. And you'll see them hems and them skirts start getting pulled out. They'll start squirming and pulling that skirt down. They'll start pulling their sweater clothes. Out there, there's something about old fashioned preaching. Makes you uncomfortable in your sin. It makes you not want to expose your body. It makes you not want to talk dirty. It makes you not want to have sin in your life.
Amen.
I remember reading about John the Baptist. I preached on him a couple of weeks ago. When he came before Herod and his gal friend, he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Lord help, what a preacher. He come in front of the king, now they set their crowns on, drinking out of their golden vessels probably. Here come old John in with a camel's hair and leather girdle on, biting the head off a grasshopper. They said, what do you have to say, preacher? Would you like to give us a little devotion? He said, yeah, you're an adulterer. You're a fornicator. You're going to hell because you've got another man's wife. Dear God, what kind of man will do something like that? Listen, brother, that's what old-fashioned preaching will do. It'll expose sin. It got John thrown in prison and ultimately got his head cut off. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. I'm thanking God tonight that we have a few preachers left that'll preach it.
Amen.
Preaching exposes sin. I thought about this. After they had John's girlfriend's daughter to come out and do the Hoochie Coochie show, remember? And she pleased him. I don't know what else happened. But anyway, she'd done a strip tease, what it sounded like. And it made that old pervert so happy. He said, I'll give you anything. Come out and dance for me. She went out and did it. And her mama said, give me the head of that preacher on a platter. They whacked off John the Baptist's head. Oh, don't feel sorry for John, by the way, because when they cut his head off, I mean, brother, he had a brand new one before his toes quit wiggling. Amen. Amen, brother, John didn't feel a thing. He went straight on into glory. John left one so-called king and went into the presence of another. I want to tell you, I got to thinking about John the Baptist when they cut his head off and put it on a silver platter and brought it to that old hussy.
Amen.
Boy, preaching will make people uncomfortable. I like it. I love it, man. I love hard preaching. I worry about people that like singing and don't like preaching. You're missing something. Old John the Baptist head over in that platter, probably in a glass case, and she left it in the bedroom. Every time she walked by, she'd look at me and go, huh, I showed you, didn't I? I showed you who's boss. Now who are you going to preach to? And I imagine she got all gussied up and went to bed and was laying there. And by the time she put the candle out, they heard a noise. And what was that? And I imagine they probably woke up in the middle of the night. I honest to God, Herod, I heard something. I heard something. And then she looked over and she probably saw John's head. And she thought she saw his lips move. And said, he's unlawful to have that brother's wife. Wouldn't that be wild? I heard the Lord, that preacher's head's talking to me. He's there and he's still preaching. I want to tell you, brother, convicting power of God will fall on sinners and even on Christians when the Word of God's being preached. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. The right kind of preaching sometimes will make you mad. That's right. Amen. You ever had a preacher skin you real good? You felt like the nerve of him. What right does he have? He has every right. He's got the book right there to stand on. Amen? Oh, yeah, brother, I've had people come up and tell me stories you wouldn't believe. I've had people come up and say, preacher, I don't know when you talked to my wife about what happened, but I'm ready to get it right with God. I'm standing there thinking, I don't even know what you're talking about, brother. But I want to tell you what, real preaching, it'll skin you from here to yonder. It'll skin you from Dan to Beersheba. And, brother, it'll expose you from the sinner that you are. That's why people don't like real hard preachers. It got Stephen killed. See, the flesh and spirit struggling. The spirit wants to do right, and the flesh wants to get out here and live like hell, and the flesh wants to come back to church and get up in the choir and sing and act like nothing ever happened. Your filthy sins are going to catch up with you. Amen. Amen? You say, preacher, I want to take my family to a church. Listen, don't worry about what kind of youth programs they got. I get tired of hearing it. What have you got for the kids? I'll tell you what we got for the kids. I'm giving it to them right now. I'm giving your kids what they need, bless God. It's better than a sucker. It's better than a piece of candy. It's better than a trip to Carowinds. Brother, I'll tell you real. Hide skin and preaching will help your family greater than anything I know of. Get them under real preaching. The truth, real preaching on truth, it'll tell the truth about something. It'll tell the truth about life and love and relationship and marriage and child rearing and sex and drug abuse. And a real preacher will tell your kids what drugs will do to them and what alcohol will do to them and the effects of premarital sex. A real preacher ain't scared to tell it. I had a man tell me one time, he said, preacher, I'd preach like that, but my church has my hands tied. I said, brother, I'd leave. I ain't staying in a church where they're going to tie my hands, brother. I ain't doing it. Hey, man, I'm too much of a rebel. I just ain't going to do it. You say, preacher, you won't have a church long preaching like that. Maybe I won't, but I ain't going to change what I'm doing. I can stand before God. Listen, here's the thing about it, brother. If you get voted out, at least you don't have to pray about whether to leave or not. Ain't that right? Here's the thing about us thinking about this today. If you get run off for preaching the truth, listen, God is obligated to feed me and my family. God is obligated to find us a place to live and feed us and keep us up, so I ain't worried about it. Listen, I ain't going to run around job scared and have God lay something on my heart and I'm scared to preach it because of a deacon board or some long-tongued hussy in the church or some committee I'm worried about. Brother, I'm going to preach it. I'll preach it if even 10 of us left. It'll tell the truth about government, war, and pleasure, and wives how to be wives, and husbands how to be husbands, how to raise your children, how to work, pay bills and debt, the right way to worship, all those kinds of things. The real kind of right kind of preaching will do all those things and much more. Amen. Real preaching is not afraid to talk about sin. Real preaching is not afraid to get up and look at the young men in the church and warn them about these women in Proverbs chapter 5. The Bible calls them the whorish women. A real preacher ain't scared to talk about things like that. Amen. You say, the preacher, that's awful rough. It needs to be rough. That's what we need. Listen, people get offended at preaching. The Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I tell you, I've been saved over 30 years, and I've never sat on a church pew one single time in my life and heard preaching so hard that I got mad and wanted to go home not one time. And I guarantee you I've heard some hard preaching. And I'll tell you how I am. Everybody I know that loves the Lord is like this. The harder I get it, the better I like it. Come on, big boy, skin me. Amen? That's the way it is, brother. When I go hear a man preach, I'm honest. I'm not joking. I said, that's my Bible. I'm thinking, all right, brother, show us what you got. Amen. Pull out the big guns. I mean, drop 2 minutes. Open both mouths, double hog buckshot, and I see you part my hair, big boy. That's what I like, brother. A man to get off and preach it. That's what we need, some preaching. Not afraid to warn young women about these reprobate teenage boys. That's right. Not afraid to tell women to submit to their husbands and husbands to love their wives. Not afraid to preach politics. Most preachers are even scared to death to even talk about politics. I know all about politics. I figured it out. Poly means many, and tick is a bloodsucker. Many bloodsuckers. That ain't that hard. You don't have to know Greek to figure that one out. to preach about false religion. Real preachers not afraid to call names either. I hear people say that all the time. I've had people accuse me of everything. I don't believe in all that name calling. Okay, let's see what the Bible said. There was a man in the Bible called people dogs. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, give not that which holy unto dogs. He called a Syrophoenician woman a dog. That's pretty rough, ain't it? See, people say a picture of Jesus carrying a little sheep on his shoulder, and they think that's all he ever did. It said, love the children, love baby sheep. I don't know what they think. But listen, brother, the Bible said Jesus was a real preacher. We was reading over the other night in the Bible over the book of Mark, where they said, what authority do you have to say the things you're saying? He said, I'll ask you a question, I'll answer yours. They said, okay. He said, John's baptism, was it of a man or of God? They said, we don't know. He said, well, I ain't answering you either. Amen, brother. How slick is that? I mean, brother, you ain't going to paint a preacher in the corner. I have a preacher friend of mine. This woman come up to him. She said, I have you know. She said, if God can preach a chicken, he can preach a woman. I'll get hate mail over this. He said, first of all, that chicken crowed. It didn't preach. Amen. Second of all, it's a rooster, wasn't a hen. Amen. That's right, brother. A real preacher ain't intimidated by people. Matter of fact, a real preacher likes a good fight now and then. That's right. Not only that, but Jesus called them swine. Matthew 7, he called them vipers. Oh, you generation of vipers. In Matthew 3, Jesus was a name caller. Matthew 6, he called them hypocrites. If you'll go home and read Matthew chapter 23 and put Alexander Scorpion, brother, that is one of the most dynamic chapters in the Bible. You ought to hear it. You ought to hear the way he reads it. Oh, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I mean, brother, he lays it on them. You're like, man, you feel a chill go up your back. Man, I'm glad I wasn't there that day. He said, you children of the devil, at John 8. He said, you're perverse. In Matthew 17, you're a reprobate. 2 Corinthians, Paul did. And Jesus called them heathen in Matthew 6. He said, you're a bunch of fools in Matthew 23. You're wicked and adulterous, Matthew 16. Oh, you have little faith, Matthew 6. Stiff-necked and uncircumcised over according to Acts chapter 7. Liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. What's a slow belly? I looked that up. Trying to figure out what that was, what it meant. What's a slow belly mean? I looked it up and what the Greek meaning is, not taking anything away from the King James. It would be the same thing as saying, you fat slob. That's right. What he's talking about, you bunch of lazy, gluttonous, fat slobs that won't do nothing, won't strike a lick. Hey, you're nothing but a slow belly. That's what he's calling those wicked and adulterous. Listen, those false prophets and false teachers. Amen. Hebrews 13 calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Paul called the high priest a whited wall. You whited wall, we know what's behind you. You got some pretty paint on the outside, but you're a sneaker. Amen. Acts 13, Paul told one of the sorcerers, he said, thou child of the devil. How about that name-calling preaching? Well, preacher, I don't like that. I know why you don't like it. Because when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that gets hot head yelps every time. Every single time you hit a dog, boy, he'll holler. That's why people don't like it. But people who love God don't mind getting hit because they know it's helping them. It'll expose you of your sin. Your kids need to hear hard preaching. Hollywood won't tell them what I'll tell them. Do you know this preacher you're looking at will tell your kids some things that they'll never hear on the movies. They can go to the movies every day the rest of their life and never hear what I'm telling them. Their friends won't tell them what I'm telling them. A drug dealer won't tell them. Rap music won't tell them. Country music won't tell them. Rock music won't. Video games won't. Reality TV won't. Nothing on television will tell them what they're getting right now in the house of God. Tell it straight, brother. Don't candy coat it. Don't water it down. I don't want my preaching to feel like it's a Snap, Crackle, Pop cereal. Amen? I don't want my preaching like it's a Pop-Tart, brother. I want some hide-ripping, old-fashioned, skin you from one end to the other kind of preaching. Real preaching brings about conviction. Y'all remember John Wesley? When his young preachers would come back to him and said, we've been out preaching all day, he'd ask them two questions. Did anybody get saved? No. Did anybody get mad? No. Go back. You hadn't preached yet. If you're really preaching, somebody's going to get mad and somebody's going to get saved, one or the other or both. And that is the absolute truth. Brother, I'll tell you, you can preach and preach and preach and do that which is right and preach the Word of God and God will honor you because preaching exposes sin. Amen. I remember one time I preached on adultery at my church. Just preached on the subject of adultery. And there wasn't no shouting going, kind of like it is tonight, kind of quiet. Before that week was out, I had a preacher in my church, been preaching for over 10 years, came to me and said, preacher, I'm living in adultery. He had had affairs with a couple of women, and he confessed that he had been addicted to internet pornography for years. You know what brought him out? Preaching. So That's what did it. It wasn't Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. Amen. When God starts knocking at your heart, and God, but listen, the Bible said it's like a goad, a prick, according to the Bible, kicking against the prick. It pricks your heart. It's like a needle going into you. You better pay attention to it. One night I preached on seducing spirits in our church, God's blessing, and God was moving. And that night, before I went to bed, I found out that one of my deacons was having an affair with a woman right in the church. God exposed it. Just boom. Just like that. Preaching will do that. Amen. All good preachers are accused of being mean. But the Bible said Jesus came preaching. Paul came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. Amen? It's all about preaching. It exposes sin. When Paul was in prison, he preached. When Peter was in prison, he preached. Listen, preaching exposes sin, number two. Listen, preaching is God's method to reach the lost. Did you know that's God's way of reaching lost people? You say, preacher, I got saved at an old-fashioned gospel singing. Well, that may be true, but somewhere along the line, you had to hear preaching to get saved. You can't get saved any other way. The Bible said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, heareth come by the word of God. God has chosen preaching as his venue to reach men and women and boys and girls and saved their soul from hell. And it's old-fashioned Bible preaching that God's chosen. People want to know about your music program and children's program and your youth program and all that other stuff, but people ought to be concerned. If I was new in town, I'd go find the first church I could where the preacher just rired back and preached, brother. First thing I'd want to know is what kind of Bible you're preaching out of. And do you ever get on people's toes? Boy, it'd make me nervous, you know, when people say, well, I like our preacher. He's so good. We're all so happy with him. We all like him. He never gets on anybody's toes. We just leave feeling so good and lifted up. That'd worry me a little bit. I'd think, dear Lord, I must be compromising. I must be backslid. Must be something wrong with me. If that's all I'm getting done, if I ain't knocking the hat off you once in a while, I ain't doing my job. Preaching keeps people out of hell. Abraham Lincoln said one time, he said, I like to hear a man preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. Amen to that. A real preacher wants to preach. Paul said in Romans 1 and 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you. The notable statesman one time, Daniel Webster, he used to go to a little country church. He was a great statesman, a great orator, and a politician. And his daughter, one day, his niece rather, she said, Uncle Daniel, why do you go to that little church? He went to a little old country church down the road. She said, there's plenty of churches uptown with some of the most people of the notoriety and people that's of the upper crust of society. You know what he said? He said, young lady in the fancy churches, they preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman, but in my church, they preach to Daniel Webster, the sinner, and they tell me about Jesus. You know what he's saying was, I can go anywhere and have people tell me how good I am, but I want to go somewhere where they tell me I'm a sinner. I want to go where they tell me the truth and tell me I need to get right with God. I want to go somewhere and get my family under the sound of the man of God where they can get some hope and some help. The only hope your kids has got. It's under some real preaching. Amen. If it ever gets to where I just quit preaching and I just get up here and tell poems and try to stroke you and make you feel good and make you, you know, like, you know who does on television, that big old fat smile and what Brian calling blinky eyes and gets up there and tell everybody how good they are. If I ever get like that, you need to take your kids and go somewhere else. Find you a church where the preacher will get up and tell them, I want somebody to warn them, I want somebody to help them, I want somebody to preach to them. The disciples preached. Jonah preached. Solomon was a preacher. Every preacher raises his voice. Hey, I've heard people say it for years. Peter raised his voice. Jesus raised his voice. I just don't agree with all that hollering. Really? What about that bothers you? Does it bother you to see me get up here and sweat? Does it bother you to see a preacher slobber and sweat and spit and scream and holler? You go watch a boxing match, it don't bother you. Them two guys get all oiled up and they got sweat all over and they're rubbing all over each other in a ring. Now that's really weird right there. Amen? Amen? What bothers you about screaming? Nothing else in life bothers you about screaming. You go to a ball game and there's 20,000 people screaming their head off. You go watch Junior play ball and you holler. Ain't a thing wrong with that. Go watch him and scream your lungs out. Sometimes I think when we go watch Candace play, she don't want people to know that's her parents. I don't know who that is. I don't know. I don't know who that is. I hope they get control of themselves. But when people use that for an excuse and say, well, I don't go like here, Brother Ronnie, because he's too loud. That ain't no excuse because you sit and watch Days of Our Lives. You watch As the Stomach Turns, Ryan's Hopelessness, all of my illegitimate children got it cranked wide open, got surround sound, so you can watch every bit of that perverted mess in stereo. Amen? Brother, I'll tell you, you know what it is? It's not so much the hollering. That might be a little bit of it, but the major part, the majority of it is the content. It's what the preacher's saying. It's when he sticks that finger out there in your face and takes this blessed old book and said, God said, you're living in sin and you're not going to prosper. you're going to suffer and bad things are going to happen to you. People get offended at that. Well, it exposes sin. It's God's method to reach the lost. It was preaching that got me in. It was preaching that got me saved. Amen. Now listen, ain't nobody likes music better than I do. I love it. I love good music. We got some of the best right here at our church, I think. Our choir does good, and our special, and our musicians, the trumpet player, and piano player, bass player, and all this other. I mean, but listen, brother, that does not take the place of preaching. No, in no way does that take the place of preaching. I'll tell you, brother, it's amazing how much people know about gospel singing groups and country groups, and bless God, can't quote three verses of Scripture out of their Bible. Brother, I'd be ashamed of myself. I'd go home and hide myself in the closet with a flashlight and a King James Bible, and I wouldn't come out of that until I knew a little bit about the Word of God. And brother, that's exactly what preaching will do for you. Amen. It exposes sin. It's God's method of reaching lost. Number three, it changes lives. That passage we read a few minutes ago, verse 18, said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." I've heard Brother Sam talk about several times about how he used to be on drugs and all that stuff, and you sit and think, how could a man do that? How could a man do all them drugs and do all that wicked stuff and have all that in his system and his flesh and just quit it? How could he do it? He must have great willpower, don't he? No. It's what I just read to you. It's the power of God. Somewhere along the line, somebody preached, and the power of God made manifest in his heart, and it transformed him, regenerated, and made him a new creature. He ain't the same anymore. He don't have the same desire. He don't want to go to the same places. You know what that is? That's old-fashioned Bible preaching. It'll change your life. It'll do something for you that nothing else in this world can do. If you notice tonight, we've got more young people now than we've had in the past year. We don't even have a youth program here. We don't have a children's program that I know of. I ain't worried about none of that stuff. We'll have plenty of fun with them. But listen, my job's to give them something they can't get down the road. There might be churches that's got more youth, and there might be churches that's got more kids, but the point is, while they're here, brother and sister, I want to give them something that's going to help them in life. Listen, they can go anywhere and learn how to play a game. They can go anywhere and get on a roller coaster or any of those things. But brother, unto the Lord, when they come to Grace Baptist Church, I want to serve them up something that's going to help them. It'll change your life. This man said one time, come to America, and he said, "I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of higher learning. And I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." And you know what I thought when I heard that? I thought, that is true. But we've reached a time and a place in our country where you don't hear preachers preach hard anymore. And now you see sin coming in, and it's taken over in our government, in our schools, in our homes, and now it's even crept into our churches. Preacher, don't you think we'd have more people if we had a rock and roll band? Well, of course we would. But you're going to be selling out the presence of God and the power of God and the protection of God to let the world come in and take over and do what we're supposed to be doing. It's not our job as a parent. Me and Brother Heath was talking about a while ago, it's not my job as a daddy to be their best friend. If I'm their best friend after I'm their daddy, that's okay. But number one, I'm their daddy, and she's their mama, and that's their number one priority. If I'm never their best friend, I can live with that. I ain't going to lay awake at night worrying about it. You shouldn't worry about being your daughter's best friend or your son's best friend. Bless God Almighty, you be their parent, and you set the standard and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're not going to do. And brother, you'll be glad down the road that you did that. Amen. It'll change your life. Change Saul from a bounty hunter to Paul the preacher. It changed Matthew from a tax collector to a preacher. Changed Peter from a fisherman to a soul winner. It changed D.L. Moody from a shoe salesman in Chicago to one of the greatest soul-winning preachers of all time. It changed Charles Finney from an attorney to a revival preacher. Listen, brother, I know that preaching, real preaching, will change your life. How many times have you heard something preached? Now, being on this end of it, I've preached stuff before, and I thought, I didn't really preach that good today. I've told my wife many times, boy, I laid an egg tonight, didn't I? She always says, no, you didn't. You did good. But I go home sometimes feeling like, man, that really didn't hit the target. But my job is to preach what I feel like God wants me to preach, whether the altar fills up or not. But a lot of times you'll preach and other preachers will tell you this, and sometimes you feel like you failed and you bombed out, and somebody will call you or write you a letter, or they'll send you a note or an email, and they'll say, "Preacher, you have no idea what you preached Sunday night, how it hit me. I mean, it's like you read my mail. It looked like you've been looking in my closet and you knew exactly what was going on. I want to thank you for preaching the truth to me and helping me." And brother, that's what real preaching will do. It'll change your life. I preached a revival a year or so ago in the upstate of South Carolina. We had a good time. Real good, every night. But there's one night I preached, and it seemed like the gears had something in one of the cogs. It's just like it's tight, you know, and it was hard preaching. I mean, I preached, did the best I could. I remember exactly what it was. I remember the topic and everything. And I remember how hard it was to preach. The rest of that week, it was a breeze. I mean, God came down. I had all kinds of liberty run up and down the aisle. People shouted. The preacher's wife about got raptured one night. Remember that? I mean, she shouted and screamed like a river panther. Wah! He said she hadn't shouted like that in years. But that particular night, it seemed like I just bombed out. I went back to the camper and I thought, I wish this was the last night. And I wish they'd give me my love offer and I'd hook up and I'd go to the house. That's how it really, on this end of preaching, sometimes that's how you feel. But you got to understand, it's not me. It's the preaching. It's the gospel. It's the message. It's the word of God. It's not the man. I'm just the pipe that the water runs through. It's been a long months and months and months went by, and I got a letter in the mail from his wife. And I don't normally get mail from other preachers' wives. But I opened it. She started thanking me for us coming. The whole family went. She started telling me the most amazing story. And she said her husband had given up. She said he was in the pulpit every Sunday. Said his heart wasn't in it anymore. And he had been hurt at church, the previous church. He'd been at this church for about 2 or 3 years. Or maybe longer. He said, "I'll never just give myself fully and wholly and completely to another church." He said, "I've been hurt too many times, been hurt too bad. I'm just not going to do it." And she wrote in that letter, and the more I read, boy, I felt the power of God hit me. And I could feel the presence of the Lord. And it's almost like the Lord was saying, "You may not have felt like it was going through that night, but here's what's really happening." And she said that preacher got up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and apologized to his people and blubbered and cried, said he couldn't even preach. He said, "I hadn't really been your pastor." He said, "I hadn't given you myself for these last few years." But he said, "I'm repenting and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm going to be your pastor and your preacher. I'm going to give it everything I got." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying real, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost sent, heaven sent, sin-killing preaching will change people's lives. It'll change you if you let it. What worries me is some people come to church and they sit and listen to preaching and let it go in one end after the other. It's sad to say every church has got it. And some, listen, we got them right here. I know we got a small crowd. We ain't got that many people. And I don't mean to be ugly, but we got people that come here. They hear the message. It goes in one ear, out the other. They go out the door and don't change a thing. But listen, preaching will change you if you let it. If you say, "Lord, are you talking to me? Lord, is that for me? If it is, Lord, I want to do what you want me to. I want to get right with you. I want to be where you want me to be. God, I want to have communion with you." And if you'll do that, God will change your life. It changes your life. Number four, I'm going to close in just a minute. It feeds a spiritual man. Hebrews 5:13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskilled from the word of righteousness, for he's a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age." Well, preacher, if you lighten up, and you lighten up on that hard preaching, our church will grow a little bit. So-and-so down the road don't preach that hard. They got a rock concert, they got a dance crew, and they got twice as many people. And we're growing. Well, let me tell you about something about churches growing. I remember one day we was coming into church one weekend and we saw a dog laying up here on the side of the road, got run over. And there he laid, all the life gone out of him, bless his heart. Poor old Fido didn't make it. He was laying on the side of the road. A couple days went by, we was going back home, there laid Fido again. Same dog, he was about twice as big. And when I drove by, I didn't look at my wife and say, "Look at Fido, bless his heart, he's really growing, ain't he?" No, Fido was swelling, he wasn't growing. There's a big difference in swelling and growing. Swelling is just you're swelling and swelling, and sooner or later you're going to blow up because you're rotten on the inside. But real growth, brother, takes nourishment, and it takes the Word of God, and you will never grow without preaching. Oh, you might have a lot of people, but that don't mean growth. Islam has got a lot of people. Amen. It'll feed you. Paul told the apostles, he said, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which Holy Ghost has made you overseas to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Number five, I'm going to move on. I ain't going to dwell on that long. Number five, it gives knowledge. Amen? Ecclesiastes 12:9, let me read something to you. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. You know why some churches don't run right? Why they got trouble and they can't never seem to get off the ground and the Holy Spirit never shows up? It's because they won't let the preacher be the preacher. They want to run it and just let the preacher come along and preach once in a while. That's not Bible, people. You cannot listen. Anything with two heads is a freak. You can't, it don't work that way. You got to have one head, one leader, and you got to have workers and helpers, but you got to have one person in charge. And if you do, it'll work like it's supposed to, and it'll give you knowledge. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, listen to this, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, for there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. You'll wear your brain out studying. But real wisdom and real knowledge comes from the Bible. Everybody I've ever met that knew anything about anything, had any sense, had any horse sense, and common sense, and spiritual sense, love preaching. I've been in it a long time. I'm 51 years old. I know something by now. You young people think you know everything. You don't know a third of it yet. Some of us has forgotten more than you'll ever know. And I'm not saying that to be smart. I'm just trying to tell you, we're trying to help you, for God's sake. I'm trying to warn you and trying to spare you from a life of misery. And listen, preaching will give you knowledge. You'll learn some things if you'll pay attention to the preaching. You know, my family, myself included, but they more than I, because I'm usually up preaching. You can look through their Bibles, every one of them, and you will find multitudes of sermons over the years that they've heard. So-and-so preached here, April 1st, so-and-so, April 10th, so-and-so preached on so-and-so, a camp meeting, so-and-so, youth rally, so-and-so preached. They write it down, Years later, they look through there and they read it, look it up, go through it again, chew it up. I mean, just chew on it a little bit. Meditate on what that preacher said. Listen, preaching will help you if you'll let it. That goes for the preacher, too. Preaching helps me. You know what we listen to a lot on these trips? Preaching. I mean, some preachers I don't even know. But if they're right doctrine in the Bible, I'll listen to them. Until they get out of whack and start preaching something crazy, and they'll cut them off. Listen, the Bible talks about preaching. And the Bible tells us the mark of a modern apostate is to avoid preaching. Listen, the NIV replaces preacher with teacher in order to make the body of Christ indebted to Bible correctors. That's why they changed the Bible, so that they can convince you they know more than you do. You don't really know what it means. You've got to turn your radio and trust in me, or come to me and I'll explain it. That's the same thing that the Roman Catholics have done for hundreds and even 1,000 years. Right. Amen. Amen. And last of all, thing I want to say about preaching is, look back at your text we started out on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, preaching pleases God. Now, I know it don't please some of y'all sometimes. And I know people hear this on the radio, they have the advantage on people sitting here, they can reach up and turn it off. And some of y'all do too, some of y'all probably turn me off, you're sitting there looking at me, but you're tuned out, you're on another frequency somewhere else. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 said, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." When I was a young preacher, I used to gauge my preaching on the results of after I preached. You can go ahead and get us a song if you don't care. And you know, a lot of times back in those days, the Spirit of God moved more than it does now. And back then, you know, you'd leave the church, and church is on a spiritual high, and several came to the altar, and several people got saved. But it don't happen that way all the time. And sometimes people get mad at you. I've had people get up and walk out. I've had people cuss me and all kinds of stuff. But if they cuss me over what I'm preaching tonight, let them cuss. I can take it. Give me your best shot. I've been talked about and talked to like a dog. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. But over those years, I learned that if you gauge your preaching by the success or by the results of what happened in the service or how many got saved during revival, I preached revival and preached a solid week, nothing happened. Nothing. Here's what you got to remember. This old preacher told me one time, he said, "Brother Ronnie," he must have sensed I was down in the dumps about this. I was just a young preacher in my early 20s. He said, "If you preach what you know God wanted you to preach, or even if you preach what you think God wanted you to preach, and you gave it everything you got," he said, "close your Bible, go home, lay your head on your pillow, and don't even give it a second thought." Amen. He's had a mouthful right there. You tell your kids the same thing, don't you? Don't tell Gunner that. Get out there and swing, try to hit the ball, make contact. If you strike out every time, so be it. You did your best. We don't care. We ain't worried about it. You'll get a hit next time. And that's the way preaching is. I've learned. That verse of Scripture right there tells me, listen, sometimes I go to church and I preach and do everything I can, and then I leave and I feel like, good night. Boy, that was tough. There wasn't nobody wanting to hear that. So I believe half of them got mad. Some of them didn't want to shake my hand. Some people jumped out the window to get away from me. But then I remember that verse of Scripture said it pleased God. I think, you know what? If it didn't please nobody in this building or nobody on the radio or nobody hears it on CD and likes it, one person I know it pleased, and that's God Almighty sitting on His throne, looked down and said, Ronnie Wilcox, I know you tried your best to do what I want you to. You're not much and you're weak and you're frail, but at least you gave it everything you got and you tried this time to preach my word and tell them people. You tried to help them young people. You tried to warn them. Now it's on them. Don't you worry about it, son. And if you'll preach hard, see, people hate it. The devil hates it. Demons hate it. But God loves it. I was talking about the parade a while ago. You go preach on the street and see if I won't stir up a hornet's nest. I've done it. I preached on the street. I rode around the back of my truck with a bullhorn preaching while my son's riding around Walmart. Try it sometime. See, I worry about these young preachers that get in the ministry and go get a degree, and they want them a church and a parsonage and a new car, but they're too good and too prideful to get out here on the street and preach or go over here to the jailhouse or go down to the nursing home or the prison camp or just go out here just anywhere to a lumberjack camp and just get up on a stump and preach. Preaching is preaching, whether you're doing it in the church or out on the street or in the radio station or no matter where you're doing it, preaching is still preaching. And if you do it with all your heart and do what God said do, God's going to love it. You know what I do now on Sunday nights? There's some Sundays I've left here. Some Sundays we have such good service I can about fly home. And then sometimes it's not that way. But it ain't always like that. It ain't always a shout and glory and being on the mountain. But if I know I did what I'm supposed to, and I preach and gave it my best, I just go home and have peace in my heart and know that I gave y'all what God told me to. You say, preacher, you're preaching awful hard to us. Well, ain't that what you want? Don't you want a preacher to help you? Don't you want a pastor to tell you the truth? What kind of preacher would I be if your kids died and went to hell and I never told them? Well, what kind of preacher would I be if your kids never heard about these dangers of sin that I've already mentioned tonight? What if your kids never heard a preacher get up here and say, girls, you better watch that boy. You know what he's going to do? He's going to mess your life up. Your parents ought to be doing it, but you ought to thank God that you got a preacher here that'll get up and tell them. I know it ain't about popularity. It ain't about getting a pat on the back. I don't get many pats on the back. That ain't what I'm in it for. But God will honor me for trying to tell the truth and trying to help some people. You wouldn't believe the people that wrote me letters and called me and come see me and said, preacher, I wish I'd have listened to you. Now look at the mess I'm in. I can't get out of it. I know young people that's in their 20s right now and some of them their 30s. And I preach my lungs out like I'm doing right now. And some of the young people that's the age some of you kids are just wouldn't listen. Thought they knew everything. They knew more than I did. They thought sin really wasn't going to hurt them the way I made a big deal out of it. But guess what? It really did. But you know what the bad part about it is, kids? Once you get down the road and realize it's turned you wrong side out, it's too late. You can't undo it. Now, you can get right with God, but you got scars on you. Rest of your life. Brother Sam's talking about it this morning. You've heard me talk about it. God saved me and pulled me out of that life of sin, the drugs, and alcohol, and all that mess. But kids, that ain't a good testimony. I got all them ugly scars still on me, mentally. I can hear a song and it'll trigger something that I did. And I think, oh God, I wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't went there. You ever done that, brother? Wish I hadn't gone there. All I'm trying to do is tell you, preaching. Listen, when you come and you sit in church and the preacher's up here preaching for those 30 minutes, whether it's in the Jubilee or whether it's your pastor up here preaching every Sunday and Wednesday, it's to help you and try to guide you in the right path in your life so you won't make a mistake that'll cost you the rest of your life. Let's all stand. Heads bowed.